T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We move into our 4 o'clock hour with our good friend Gary St. Jean to talk an awful lot of Warriors and Jazz. That's what we're going to have tonight. Nate Thurman bobblehead night as well. And a line of Nate Thurman bobblehead fans has already begun to assemble. It's not a big line yet. They're very early. They're very early. Believe me, it'll be roarous at the end of the night. It'll be huge. We've got our buddy Gary St. Jean, CSN Warriors analyst, ready to go. Gary, thanks as always. Great to talk to you. It's a big, big week for the Warriors. It's going to end this weekend with Christmas Day, but there's a few basketball cities to get through. And this Utah team, this is a team that is officially not afraid to play the Warriors. And one of those teams that probably doesn't get the amount of attention it receives because everybody is paying attention to the Warriors. This is a good Jazz team.
Well, Dame, you are right. And more kudos go to them because of how banged up they've been. You know, their best player, Hayward, missed probably 10 games with a broken finger. Favors is out tonight with a knee problem. He's probably missed 10 games. They acquired Hill from the Pacers. He's missed over 10 games. Burks is out for the season with a good part of the season with a shoulder problem. And, you know, arguably that's 4 out of their top 7 guys, yet they've stayed darn competitive. They brought in a couple veterans, and they've really stabilized their team. We'll talk more about them, but I'm kind of excited to watch the French rejection tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Rudy Gobert was the one lone healthy starter in the Jazz lineup the last time these two met in early December. And hey, I mean, he almost brought them to a win over the Warriors as shorthanded as they were. I think he had 20-17 on the night. He is, you know, here's the thing. You say European, and I instantly think probably a little softer, less physical. This is a Frenchman who officially likes to bang. Did you see what he just did to Marc Gasol the other night?
I got to tell you something. You know, everyone's talking Gasol up as the best center in the league. This young guy, the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 10 games, he's averaging about 16 points, about 13 rebounds, and over 3 blocks a game. And, you know, he gives that an ingredient that we have when McGee's in the game. You know how they run the pick and roll and he dives right to the rim? His hands have gotten better. He's finishing in the paint. He's a much more confident player. And, you know, you're right on. He's a key piece to their team. Whereas before he was a complimentary piece, he's a pivotal piece to them, and I think he's the anchor to their defense.
Last time we saw the Warriors, they blew the Portland Trailblazers right off the floor here at Oracle. The 45-point margin of victory, the largest so far in the NBA this season. The Warriors were very good. That might be their most complete game if you're looking for all those, you know, coaches' boxes to check. Did you rebound? Did you body up? Did you steal the ball? Did you take care of the ball? Did you shoot well? Did you out-free throw your opponent? All those little things kind of came together in that game.
Well, what a game for Kevin Durant. And, you know, McGee played well again. But what was really cool to me was the game that Clark had. You know, the game was in good hands, and he scored quite a bit in the fourth quarter. But I see a young guy gaining confidence. We know that Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala will be the sixth and seventh guy. We know Mark West will be the eighth guy. Who are going to be the ninth and tenth guy as we go forward? And he's laying some bricks. I think he's earning the spot. It's going to be his. And he looks confident out there. I think, you know, we're seeing these guys step up because of their confidence level. And you know, we might put that other guy on the list, and it might be McGee. McGee comes out with a statement this week. He said this is the most fun he's had playing in the NBA. And, you know, that's because of this locker room and the way they play the game and the way they care about each other. And, you know, it makes for a whole lot of fun.
Ian Clark, what a year he's having. 43% from beyond the arc. he's kind of taken over, like you said, that ninth guy spot. He's like this year's younger Leandro Barbosa.
Yeah, that's right on. And he'll tell you that he spent a lot of time talking to Barbosa about that role last year. You know, he told, you know, Barbosa, hey, I'm getting older. And good for Barbosa. He got a nice deal with Phoenix. But and then the guys that played on that second unit, they told him, hey, you can do this. We believe in you. And he's really, really stepped up. And you can see a guy there that all he needs is space. If he's got some space, he'll knock down the three. He's really confident striking the ball.
You know, if you think about it, basketball, it's like the symphony that comes together, and the head coach is kind of like the conductor of the symphony. I mean, I can't remember who it was, but somebody famously asked a great conductor, well, you know, what do you do? He said, you know, I don't play an instrument, but I play the symphony. How do you think Steve Kerr's done playing his symphony a third of the way through it?
Well, you see, I'm from Massachusetts, Dame, so we have the Boston Pops and the Boston Symphony.
Oh, yeah.
And we had Arthur Fiedler. He's before your time, but we had a famous John Williams, and he wrote scores for many of the great movies.
Absolutely.
And so I got Steve Kerr in their category. I was so impressed. Weren't you impressed the way he saluted or gave praise to Craig Sager?
He was phenomenal.
That shows you who Steve Kerr really is. I say this, and I say it all the time. I have him in my top three coaches in the league. But for me, he's even a better guy. He's the perfect guy to be coaching this team. He knows how to communicate at a beautiful level. It's a great game the way they play. He's got a terrific staff. So if you need me to be the president of the Steve Kerr fan club, I'm available.
You say he's one of the top three coaches in the league. It's Popovich, him. Who's your third?
You know, I think Tom Thibodeau, but it's been a struggle up there this year.
Yeah.
It really surprised me. And again, it shows you lack of experience. See, they look at what Utah did. They brought in Joe Johnson and they brought in Diaw. That's veterans and Hill. So they bring those guys in with all those young guys. Minnesota doesn't have any of that. I really like Brad Stevens in Boston. I love Spoelstra down in Miami, and, you know, Rick Carlisle's had a heck of a career. So those would be the guys that come to the top of my head.
Gary St. Jean, CSN Warriors analyst here. The Utah Jazz, they play at a pace that gives the Warriors a little bit of problem. You know, if the Warriors want to run, they want to slow games down. I'll tell you, they also slow scoreboards down by being the best protecting in the paint team in the NBA. Rudy Gobert, we see you. They're also the second best at denying the three. I mean, these are two huge pieces if you're looking for a team that can make a little playoff noise right there.
Well, why? Because Gobert is one of the great shot blockers we have in the game. So you don't get to the rim for layups, and you don't get easy paint points. And when you have that kind of rim protection, if you and I are guarding out on the perimeter, we're more confident to overextend. You and I are going to do our best to, you know, play the guy that we're guarding. If he's right-handed, we're going to play him right and tight. And if he beats us to the left on a drive, no problem. But we're going to take away the middle, and we're going to take away the three. And, you know, Favors, when he's healthy, is really a good shot blocker and paint protector as well. So they've got a lot of good pieces. And, you know, Quinn Snyder's really done a heck of a job there. But those two stats you bring out, Dame, are right on the button. I mean, that's their bread and butter. That's why they're successful. You know, Hayward, they do have one issue that concerns me for them at the end of the year. They've got free agency problems because Hayward, Hill, and Favors are all free agents. And, you know, I think they're finding out that the small guys might be more important than big. So, you know, maybe Favors will really get it going and really force their hand, but yeah, that's a beautiful trade piece if they want to improve in some area, because right now, Diaw, Lyles, and Ingles are filling in at that four spot and doing a darn good job.
He is a saintly one. Got to ask you a non-Warrior question. It's about DeMarcus Cousins, who got hit with a big fine for a tirade directed towards a Kings columnist. Now, I don't want to turn this into a players against the media type of thing.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about DeMarcus, though. Eventually, you are who you are. And he is the guy who just will not grow up. Do the Kings owe it to themselves to give up on the talent to just bring a little stability to a franchise? If this is your cornerstone player, you're going to have a very shaky building.
Well, you know, Dave, it's an interesting thing. You saw, I think it was, there's a John Calipari that had a podcast this week, and he had Mike Krzyzewski on it. He was talking about how well he performed and acted as a member of USA Basketball. And there's no debate about this guy's talent. But, you know, it's got to be wearing thin up there. Players, teammates, coaches, front office, ownership. And, you know, you compound all of that stuff. You know, you had the Barnes incident last week, 2 weeks ago with him in New York. I don't know where it's going to go, but I don't like the direction it's headed. I feel bad for Sacramento because I love the fans up there and love living up there, and I want to see them start to move forward. But you take two steps forward, and then you fall four steps back. You can't keep doing that.
So in terms of steps, let's wrap up with this. Tonight it's Utah. Then they got a back-to-back double step through Detroit and Brooklyn. It goes Brooklyn, then
Brooklyn,
Detroit.
You're right.
And then a night off before the big Christmas Day matchup with the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you're Steve Kerr, are you looking to buy a little rest, if not for one of your bench players, maybe even a starter in one of those back-to-backs with the big game against the Cavaliers looming?
Wouldn't surprise me at all. It makes total sense. But here's where Steve is so good. That big four keeps communicating with him. If they blow guys out like they did with Portland, and they don't have to play more than 28 minutes, these guys can do that in their sleep. So whether one of those guys will sit out, I'm not quite sure, Dame. But you know what? If Iguodala or Livingston, like you said, or West or Petulia, any of those guys, the older guys, are looking a little tired or sore, heck yeah, I think he'll give them a night off.
No night off for us, though. We're covering the game. I know you're going to be all over that game. What else are you doing this Christmas besides watching basketball? You got a little family action going on?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. The tree?
My wife, MJ, does it up big. And my son, Greg, who's coaching with Chris Mullen and Mitch Richmond back at St. John's, he gets 3 days off. They're playing Syracuse tomorrow, so he'll fly home. And my daughter, Emily, who lives in the city, she'll be home. And we've got some good friends coming over, and I might sneak a peek at these five NBA games. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah, I think I might too. Just move over, family member. I got to see the TV. It's a day
You've
of work.
Hey,
a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to all the St. Jeans from all of us here at 95.7 The Game. Gary, you make our day brighter every single time we talk to you.
Oh, hey, Dave, thanks a million, and right back at you, and Happy Holidays.
One of the best, Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Holidays to him. Guy always makes me smile. Every single time.
They don't make him like him anymore.
No, they don't.
He's a goodie.
They really don't. I wonder if I'm like going to reach an age where I'm just really nice all the time. Like really friendly and happy all the time, seemingly.
Sure.
When does that kick in? At what point?
I don't know. Let's ask Gary.
How the heck can't you be good on a day like today? My gosh.
There he is. It's just Mr. Optimism. At all times. Our number is 888-957-9570. Warriors and Jazz, again, it's a really interesting matchup because styles make fights. And this is a team that has a style of its own. You know, a lot of the teams that you watch, they don't have any definitive aspect to them. They don't have a calling card, if you will. The Warriors' calling card, my God, it's just the amount of talent that they have on their roster, which no team in the world can even pretend it can match. And then you add the ball movement, the unselfish play, and it becomes unfair. The Utah Jazz. I mean, this is a bring-your-lunch pail, blue-collar basketball team, and I really respect them. I mean, this reminds me of like Jerry Sloan days. They will slow you down. They will physically lean on you. They just beat Memphis playing in Memphis and catering to Memphis's style. That game was like a boxing match. So the Warriors, they got one coming for them tonight. And I can guarantee you that a now healthier than before Utah Jazz team is going to be ready for this one tonight. Could be good. Could be very, very interesting. We'll see how close it actually is for the Warriors. Meanwhile, We got Steph Curry auctioning off his shoes on eBay. We think that that is fantastic. It's a great thing to do. The charitable-minded world that we now live in during the holidays is something that we've encouraged people to do, whether you give to the Guardsmen, if you the Adopt a Family.
Yep, CompassSF.org.
CompassSF.org, which, by the way, Gianna put that all together for us, and a very nice family is about to get taken care of this Christmas. I'm so happy that you did that.
Thank you.
I really believe that giving generously either your money or your time to charity, best if you can combine both without doing it for the pat on the back,
sure,
is the single best thing that you can do. Right now, I don't think Ezekiel Elliott necessarily jumped into the Salvation Army bucket to raise awareness for the Salvation Army, but boy, did he ever.
Didn't it help?
Salvation Army donations since Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys was given an unsportsmanlike penalty for using the prop that was almost a life-size Salvation Army kettle. He hops into it, and online donations are almost to $1 million on SalvationArmy.com.
No way.
When I first saw this story and the count of it, they had raised $182,000 in about 24 hours. They're now north of $800,000. Way to go, Ezekiel Elliott.
That's pretty awesome.
What I really thought should have happened, and this might have been controversial because you've been going against the rule book, but I think it's the PR battle that you would have won would have made it right. The official should have picked up the flag and said, in the spirit of the holidays, we will ask Dallas's opponent whether or not they want to enforce this penalty. We're not going to make it automatic. We're going to give them the choice. Penalty, Salvation Army bucket. The other team's got to be like, nah.
No, of course not, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're like, yeah, push them back. Yeah, maybe you are. It is a zero-sum game. But I thought it would have been a nice thing to do to ignore the letter of the law for the spirit of the law. That was
right.
Not self-serving. That wasn't T.O. going for the Sharpie. You know, it wasn't... It wasn't a look-at-me moment as much as it was a look-at-me moment that had a great bounce for a charity.
Yep.
Good on him. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. Way to raise a little awareness for the Salvation Army, for sure. I can't help but that is the ultimate, like, I will cross the street to put a dollar in your bucket.
Oh, me too.
It's just so nice.
I would stand it. I would ring the bell.
You'd be an official ringer?
Of course. To bring more money in, 100%. I would do it. Maybe we're going to do it next year. Damon.
Let's ring it.
I'm in.
Let's ring the alarm.
It's on the list now.
Can we get like an audio recording of a bell, or do we actually have to ring a bell?
No, we're going to ring the bell.
Oh, we can't be lazy about
it. Nope, we're not going to be lazy. We're going to old school and ring the bell.
Should I dress something sexy?
Yes.
Should I wear a little something? Show the legs?
In a Santa onesie.
Whatever makes the money pour in. If I got to sex up this Salvation Army collection site, I will. I'm willing to do that for the kids and the people that it helps. You know, we were talking about this earlier with the latest on Vegas relocation, Pro Football Talk. Every single story now, it seems like the pendulum swings. It depends on what week you're reading about this. Last week it was Raiders looking less and less like they're moving to Las Vegas. This week it's Raiders looking more and more like they're looking moving to Las Vegas. By the time this story actually reaches the finish line, it will have changed three or four more times.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to happen, going to happen. Not going to happen, going to happen. Remember, the owners have three different ways to communicate. They can open their mouths and lie to you directly. They can leak information through their media sources. And then there's what really happens when they finally go behind closed doors to actually vote.
Right.
And what you hear out of, you know, the leaks, the actual message, and then the vote, we've seen them be all three different things, and we've seen it time and time again. What I really hope that somebody remembers, and this is tough to ask a group of billionaires to remember. As a matter of fact, the NFL is so far down the path of not courting the blue-collar worker, but the white-collar corporate endeavor that, I don't know, maybe this is just pipe dreaming. But if I could get up in that meeting and I had to appeal to the owner's heart not to leave, I would basically say football at its heart is a blue-collar sport. Vegas has always been about glitz and glamour, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know anyone who's ever been up before 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday in Las Vegas. I mean, even if you're going to rehab, even if you're going to detox, even if you're going to a pool party, you push that off till about 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
True.
Because Vegas doesn't exactly lend itself to a bright, bushy-tailed Sunday morning.
No, it is not an early crowd.
No. And of all days where Vegas is at its sleepiest, it's Sunday, because people go hard on Saturday nights.
Right.
They go to Sunday morning. I don't know anybody who's going to be like, yeah, let's wake up at 10:30 and get down to the stadium to tailgate in the car that we need to rent now.
If they're waking up at 10:30, it's because they got to go catch a plane to go home. It's not to
exactly.
stay. Exactly. It's because they don't, you know, they
right.
don't want to.
You're going to McCarran. You're going to McCarran Airport.
Yeah.
At 10:30 in the morning. The NFL appeals to the event crowd that obviously the Raiders draw and a big game draws. But what happens when the novelty wears off? Let me tell you what happens when novelty wears off in Oakland. People remain loyal because their grandfather's grandfather brought them. What happens when the novelty wore off in San Francisco? Hey, Niner fans would still fill Candlestick even if it was a bad year. What happened now that the novelty is worn off in Santa Clara? It's crickets. When the novelty of the Raiders moving to Las Vegas wears off in the city of Las Vegas, that will be the emptiest stadium in the NFL. I promise you that already concerns about corporate bases, actual season ticket bases, still hasn't been trumped by my concern is that Las Vegas will turn its back on the coolest, hoppinest nightclub on the strip within 3 years, no matter how cool or hoppin' it is. You know, there's only one Tao that has survived like a decade now. Everything else closes. Everything else in Las Vegas is something new. They got to tear down casinos and make them new again within 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, just to keep up.
Look, Vegas is a penny slot town. Don't let the high roller room fool you. It's not the big whales that fly in on their corporate jets that make that economy go around. It's the toothless rednecks who came in on their slipstream from Oklahoma to play penny slots and then go see Donnie and Marie. No offense, Gianna.
Okay.
No offense.
None
and go
taken.
See Donnie and Marie or, you know, the Liberace Museum. That's what makes Las Vegas so profitable for casinos. I don't know if Marge and Billy Bob are sticking around for the Raiders game after they get cleaned out and hand a blackjack.
Yeah.
I just got to be honest. Does anybody want to listen to the honesty?
That no, because it hurts.
The city of Las Vegas is still sleeping at NFL kickoff times? I have to play a lot of 4 o'clock starts. 888-957-9570 is the number. We are going to take your calls when we come on back. Raider fans, Niner fans, Warrior fans, it's all open to you. Marcus Thompson, though, is right around the corner from the Bay Area News Group. We're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff with Marcus, the jack of all trades, coming up next here on the Damon Bruce Show. Welcome on back. We are outside of Oracle Arena. It is Nate Thurman bobblehead night, which means we've already got a line of fans ready to get in to Oracle Arena tonight. Looking to pick up a bobblehead. What is it? First 10,000 get a bobblehead? Is that it?
Typically.
I've always been a big believer. Why doesn't everyone get one?
Yeah. I know, right? Then you all wouldn't have to be waiting in line.
Why doesn't everybody get a bobblehead? You tell me they can't swing 9,000 more bobbleheads? Come on. It's a 19,000-seat stadium. Give away 19,000 bobbleheads. That's what I would do. Yeah, you're printing money. You're printing your own money over here.
I think a lot of people agree with you, Damon.
I think everybody in this line agrees with me. Meanwhile, the Warriors are like, no.
It makes it more special, I guess.
Well, I mean, these things are always sponsored. You just say, hey, we need you to do double the amount.
Right.
That's the way I'd play it. As we're waiting for our buddy Marcus Thompson to join us, let's take a couple of phone calls. Omar in San Francisco. What's going on, Omar? Omar, are you with me?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
I got you, man. How are you?
Hey, you know what? This whole McCaffrey and the Stanford and the Sun Bowl, I don't know, man. It's as if this whole thing about football now is like just kind of going down the drain. You know, these prima donnas coming out. And I'm saying it like that because it's like, all right, you want to sit out for that. The next thing you know, you're in the NFL and you're going to sit out for this reason and that reason. You know, it's kind of like with LeBron, you know, not wanting to suit up for a game for basketball. Then you got all these people paying for that ticket, for that price to get to see him. You know, it kind of sucks for the little man who's going to go to these bowl games or for, you know, to watch their team play or whatever because this guy wants to prep for his football career, right? I don't know.
Look, I never sit down hoping anyone's going to get hurt. But I've also never approached a sporting event thinking to myself, geez, I hope the best and the brightest aren't playing because it would be a shame if they got hurt tonight. I mean, it's just there's a new way. And honestly, fans are allowing it in their own way by coming out and supporting the product to the point where, you know, they don't stop making money ever.
But maybe we need to rethink the whole bowl system then, like make it matter more.
Look, the bowl system needed to be rethought. To the point where it was, now that you got a playoff.
Right.
And the minute that that happened, you were basically taking a whole bunch of other bowls and rendering them, if not irrelevant, certainly less relevant.
Right.
And not relevant at all to a national championship picture. But it used to work in the past. Like, nobody ever thought that the winner of the Poland Weed Eater Bowl was going to go on to be named national champion over Alabama this year. Like, what do you know? It's Boise State after all. Like, that never happened. So there's always been – here's the deal. It's like when it comes to the NCAA, the NCAA is Oz, and Dorothy has pulled the curtain back to reveal that the all-knowing and powerful Oz isn't even what you thought. As a matter of fact, it's all kind of a sham. And, you know, now people just want I don't know. I don't know what people want anymore. People obviously want the safest possible game available. The NFL is almost ruining its product with its over-officiating of a safer product. And at the same time, Cam Newton cannot buy a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's weird. Sports are in a really, really weird place. And I'm telling you that the only thing that can get everybody's attention is by messing with the bottom line and the money. And with NFL ratings being a concern for the first time in my life, and with the absolute fracturing of the way an entire generation of fans consumes media, I mean, we're not going back to three networks and a black and white TV and family hour. Everybody's watching whatever they want to watch 30 seconds at a time in the palm of their own hand, and then what's next? What's next? I mean, I even caught myself the other day almost opening up a video and then noticing it was like, it's like 7 minutes long. Forget it. I don't have
really?
The time. And I didn't do it.
Yeah, the attention span.
Yeah.
That's why videos are short now. I think, you know, it's the team sports are still quote unquote team sports, but individuals are taking more responsibility for their own personal future and endeavors. And I think that's what kind of where it's stemming from. These guys looking out for what's best for them and how much money they're going to make and their longevity, and especially in a sport like football.
You know, there are offensive and defensive linemen who are going to be drafted in the first round. I don't hear any of them sitting it out. This is like you're a running back. You're so special. You're a wide receiver.
True.
You're so special.
True.
And, like, I don't know. And look, I understand that there are certain positions that lend themselves to more catastrophic happenstance injuries than other positions. When we start seeing major quarterbacks sit out because they think that their draft position is secure, then we're going to have a problem. Then the networks are going to say, wait a minute. Whoa. We sold these bowl games. We want people to watch these bowl games. And since college football is now just a rotating group of nameless, faceless players in jerseys that you're accustomed to rooting for, when you actually have a player with a name and a face and he walks away, that's not good.
No. Mm-mm.
That is not good.
That's money.
So, it is money. And believe me, money is something that everybody in the room is concerned about big time. Let's go to Simon. Simon is on hold. Thank you very much. Simon's gone. Mark and Clayton it is. How are you, Mark?
Hey, doing good, Damon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm in a little bit of a special situation. I'm a Raiders season ticket holder, but I actually am also a graduate student at UNLV. For those who don't know, University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Yes.
There's a couple of points that, you know, this whole Raiders to Vegas move that some people don't realize. And one of it is, you know, there's a whole community in Vegas, Henderson, Summerlin, that people don't talk about. It's not just people coming into the Strip for the weekend. There's a whole community out there, and if they don't want to believe me, just try to go through Las Vegas traffic at 5 p.m. on the 215. Trust me, there's a lot of people there.
Sure.
But then again, to argue the opposite point, I do see that people think that it won't support a stadium. And the reason is, if you live in Vegas or Henderson, the people there, and that includes me, we avoid the Strip like the plague.
Right.
We hate going to the Strip. When I have my family come to visit, and I tell people, yeah, I'm going to the Strip, my family's in town, they go, oh, my God, I'm sorry, you have to go to the Strip. I hate going to the Strip. So if they put a stadium right by the Strip, you know, that's going to turn off some people. And a big X factor towards that is if Mark Davis tries to put a huge price on PSLs and try to rob us, just like Jed York absolutely robs 49ers fans of PSLs, I guarantee you nobody's going to want to pay $10,000 to go all the way down the Strip where they never want to go in the first place. So
well, and let's thank you for making the call. And look, let's just be totally honest. The only way you appeal to a hometown fan base is appealing to the hometown fan base, not the 105 from Delta that just landed at McCarran. If you think you're going to do most of your business with the tourists, man, have you got another thing coming? You know, and when it comes to local populace, well, the Bay Area has like five times the people that Las Vegas has. This is why Las Vegas looks like a great idea for a weekend. It's a lousy place to move. It's like that for people. It's like that for us in our week. Vegas is a great idea for at max five meals. Not even 72 hours. Five meals. If you are in Las Vegas.
72 hours. Ooh, that's
no,
too
that's
long.
Too much.
Too long.
That's too much. Five meals. If you are in Las Vegas for longer than five meals, you have overstayed your welcome. And now you've got a team that really thinks that it's going to, what, draw most of its fans every week from casinos? Look at it this way. Every single week the Raiders go to play in their brand new Las Vegas stadium, if that's indeed what they have, they better get used to the environment that they just played down in San Diego. Because Green Bay Packer fans, they will show up 50,000 at a time for a December game just to get the hell out of Wisconsin for
sure.
A weekend. So you will never have a home field advantage beyond your first 2 years of isn't it exciting we have an NFL team. Then the novelty act goes away. The locals don't like the Strip as it is. No one can convince me it's a good idea. I don't care how much state money is waiting. This is a long-term play. This is not a turnaround, fix this house. This is a long-term play, and there is no better play in the long term than staying right here for the Raiders. I really believe that. We're going to have Marcus join us coming up next, Better Late Than Never with Mr. Marcus Thompson here on the Damon Bruce Show. Welcome back, and welcome to Marcus Thompson from the Bay Area News Group. Always good to talk a little Warrior Hoops, little football with Marcus as well. He is a jack of all trades. Mr. Thompson, I think the Warriors are coming off their best game of the year. It looked like the best game of the year against the Portland Trail Blazers. It was effortless. It was an easy win. They got to coast. They rebounded the ball. They outshot their opponent. I mean, that was one of the best nights of basketball they've had in a season that's already been dotted with a couple of very impressive nights.
Some of it had to do with Portland, you know, being a little terrible. You know, they don't play good defense. They're a bad matchup for the Warriors. They need a team that's tough and plays physical defense. But we haven't seen it click like that too often, especially click and then they maintain it. So the fourth quarter becomes the garbage time. So I think coming off that road trip, I bet you Steve Kerr was really happy to get a 40-point win snuck in there.
Yeah, I bet he was too, especially after kind of a lackluster performance against the Knicks, a depleted Knicks team. No Melo, no DeRozan. You should probably win that game on your home court by more than 13 points. It didn't happen. Now, if you like styles and fights, this is a Utah Jazz team that is a polar opposite from the Portland Trailblazers. Like, they come in to play as much defense as you can ask an NBA team to play on the road. As a matter of fact, they just played enough defense on the road in Memphis where they beat the Grizzlies at the Grindhouse. That's an impressive win. It's something the Warriors couldn't do.
Utah, now that you drop 135 on Utah, now you're talking, right? Now,
yep.
Now you can say, hey, we're out here dragging people because they play the kind of defense that will really challenge the Warriors. They contest, they hustle really well, they have length, they have a rim protector. I mean, they have all the pieces. That's one of the best defenses in the NBA. And now they're healthy. They have Gordon Hayward back. You know, they have Derek Favors. So I think tonight is going to be a great test to see just how good the Warriors are. And I think they're going to win, but the question is, can they dominate the good defensive teams like that? And you know, you might get a good – this might be a good night for Steph Curry to break out of his slump.
Yeah, you know, and I'm looking at this upcoming three-game road trip. We all know where it ends. It ends on Christmas Day in Cleveland. I think that the two games before it in Brooklyn and in Detroit are two opportunities for Steve Kerr maybe to hop into the game of resting a starter for the first time this year. We've seen Livingston have a night off. We've seen Andre Iguodala get a night off. You know, Zaza, obviously, when he was hurt, he got some nights off. Do you think Steve ends up sitting someone in his starting five before they get to Cleveland?
I'm torn. Part of me says no, because he wants them to be in rhythm when they play Cleveland. And if they develop some kind of offensive flow, especially based off starting with that Portland game, if they're getting some groove, you want to go into Cleveland, a big game against a team that beat you in the finals, like playing good ball. And if you take a guy out, that might hinder that. But then also, he might be able to mind is like, whatever, we don't care about this game. Last year, this was a big game for us. But now we know the regular season is irrelevant. So maybe he'll rest a guy just to kind of take some of the pressure off. But he's going to have to hear from Adam Silver if he rests anybody on Sunday. So, you can't rest Draymond on the game against Detroit because that's his home game. So Brooklyn might be the time to do it if they're going to do it.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, thinking that Draymond, there's no way he wants to sit out another game in Michigan, that's for sure. We got Marcus Thompson here from the Bay Area News Group, talking a little Warriors with him. Shifting gears a little bit to what the Raiders have in front of them. They are a playoff-bound football team. They just basically killed football in San Diego as we know it. That was impressive. Now, they've got maybe their own division and possibly still the number one overall seed out there for them. You know, this is a team that I still think, Marcus, hasn't even come close to playing its best football game yet. And you got the defense carrying this team through some moments that the offense used to carry them through. You know, it's not Sean Smith covering anybody one-on-one. We know that. But they're getting big plays out of the defense now that Derek Carr won't go back under center and hasn't gotten too many big plays out of his offense. The best is still yet to come. And that's what I think makes them the most interesting team in the dance when we start dancing.
Without question. Remember, it was all offense and the defense was giving up 30 a game. Now it's the defense is winning games and making plays, and the offense is the part that's struggling. What happens when they get it all together? Like, that's what we still haven't seen. And maybe we don't see it this year. Maybe we see it next year. But the threat of it happening this year is a pretty scary thought. It's almost like Pittsburgh. They've been injured. You know, they've had guys in and out of the lineup. They've lost some games. But you look at that team, you say, man, if they get it together at the right time, they're going to be pretty dangerous. The same is true with the Raiders. I remember writing before that they might be 12-4, and even I was like, you know, being generous. And now we're looking at if they finish less than 12-4, it'll be a disappointment. I mean, they're that good. They have that much talent. They have that much those type of playmakers on both sides of the ball that – they can really run a table like that. They can get hot on either side of the ball and impact the game. And that's the essence of playoff football, really, when it comes down to it. Who's going to make plays in close games? And the Raiders have a lot of guys who can do that on both sides.
If you got the Raiders finishing 12-4, have you got the Niners finishing 1-15?
Oh, they're done. Stick a fork in them. The Niners are more done than San Diego football. That's how bad it is. They're done. First off, they just don't have the players. Like, you can't run a JV team out there and win. It just doesn't happen. They lose five more guys. They're done. Whoever they play is going to be a better team than them from their talent wise. Now, where's the motivation to win? Where's the scheme to win? They're done. If they win another game, first off, they'd be stupid. But if they win another game, I'd be surprised. But they might as well go ahead and get the number two pick or number one and hope Cleveland loses. But they're done.
Let's wrap up with this. How well, if at all, do you know Sacramento Bee reporter Andy Fruillo? And what'd you think of the DeMarcus Cousins intimidation and the reaction by the Kings fining him $50,000?
Look, you know, for one, I feel like this is all part of the process. You're going to write things players won't like. Some players will confront you. And for me, I feel like that's part of the process. I know Cousins has this history, so to speak, with trying to suppress censorship. But part of me is like, you know what? That's the nature of power structures. That's why journalism is necessary, because people would try to stop information. So stand up and you know, all right, this is what it is. This is how it's going to be. I think Cousins has a right to be offended, to have a problem, to have an issue. Ideally, if you're the Kings, you want him to handle that better. But that's the nature of the beast. You're going to write some things. He has a right to not like what we write, just like we have a right to write what it is he might not like. And that's the way it is. It's a back and forth. It's the give and take. Ideally, you want it to be professional. But in the end, this is what it is. This is what we do. And I think we should probably remember that it's all just sports, right? Nobody's living or dying because of this. And hopefully that perspective will allow us to continue doing this process well.
All your time spent in the locker room, baseball, football, basketball, otherwise, you ever had an awkward moment where a guy invaded your space?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's tough, you know. Especially everybody's tough when the crowd's around. So, you know, people say things. People have situations where they feel like they got something to say. I've had a player come to me. My only standard is, you know, talk to me with some respect. And I'm hearing whatever you got to say. I'm willing to work out any situation as long as you respect me as a grown man. And I haven't had anybody disrespect me as a grown man, but I have had people who are not happy with me, and we had to have a meeting about it. And that's cool. That's all part of it.
There you go. That's part of it. That's how you know you're good at what you do. Always good to talk to you, Marcus, man. Thanks an awful lot. I'm sure I'll see you tonight at Oracle, and I'll bump into you. No. The other games are on the road, so let me wrap up with a very Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yes, sir. I'm going to need some tips for winter Christmas in snow. I don't get to do that very much, so I'll be in Cleveland. So I'm going to need you know, how y'all deal with that crazy Midwest Christmas stuff.
I'm going to tell you right now, double the socks. Make sure you got dry socks.
Dry socks, that's critical. That's good.
Dry socks, that's pretty good for you.
Don't go outside.
Oh, no, well, yeah, there's obviously, if you're outside, you're doing it wrong. What are you thinking? Why are you doing that? Take care, man. Have a good trip.
All right, thank you.
Marcus Thompson, heading to Cleveland. Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of people are heading to Cleveland on a Christmas day, and otherwise they would not be heading to Cleveland on a Christmas day, but that's the way it is.
Unless you're going to see the family of the Warriors taking on the Cavs.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Buddy of mine offered me a ticket.
Oh,
to
wow.
The game. Yeah, buddy of mine offered me a ticket, and I said, you know, the whole, like, married thing, probably, you know.
It changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention I couldn't get Kerry Keating to ditch his family to come do pregame with me over there. But he is going to do pregame with me starting at 6 o'clock tonight, which means we got 1 hour left here on the Damon Bruce Show at 5:30. We got a holiday-driven trifecta. We're going to ask you to wrap a few things up on the season. And a couple of gift ideas,
awesome.
I think, before it's all said and done. You're going to want to stick around for that. When we come on back, though, Bobby Marks, we're going to talk with him. He covers the NBA, We're going to talk with him about all the new CBA happiness, some of the ripples that it will cause, and how the Warriors are going to keep a team of supervillains together long beyond this year. So we're going to get into the details of what is normally the cut-and-dry business of the new CBA, but some really interesting stuff coming up with a guy who knows the details of it very, very well. Bobby Marks is going to join us on Tuesday Trifecta at 5:30. Kerry Keating and Warriors warm-up at 6 o'clock. It's all coming up tonight on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.